Greetings from Podcastville. It's Monday, the 23rd of December, you bad motherfuckers. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by my bookie. Listen, December's a great time for sports fans. You got the bowl games, you got NBA basketball, you got hockey, you got college hoops. My bookie has a Christmas gift for you, and they're giving away 12 days of risk-free gifts. Free bets, free spins, futures, features, and more. My bookie's got a little something for everybody, so you don't want to miss this promotion. Do me a favor. Head over to mybookie.ag right now, today. Cut this shit. It's Monday. Grandma's going to give you 100. Use promo code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H. Get half your initial deposit and free wages. That just starts the savings. You play, you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag. The Church is also brought to you by Upstart. Most of us find it hard. Getting into debt is easy. Getting out of debt, that's hard, especially if your credit card, if your credit score isn't that great. They offer you a smarter interest rates to help you pay off your credit card debt. That's what Upstart does. You understand me? They consolidate, and they get your party started, and they go beyond there than the traditional credit score. With Upstart, your interest rate is based on your education, job history, not your credit score. So do me a favor right now. Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. Hurry to upstart.com/church, C-H-U-R-C-H, to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Start the year off with Upstart. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/church. It's also brought to you by, this is the gift. You're sitting there scratching your head. It's Monday. You're like, what am I going to get my grandmother? You ready? A portable bidet. You're like, why would my grandmother need a portable bidet? Because her ass smells like a goat. That's why. Have you thought about it? Next time you go over for Christmas dinner, look at your grandmother's ass and just play Houdini for a minute and say to yourself, what does it a whiff of her muffler smell like? She's 82. Listen, you're like, Joey, what's a bidet? A bidet, it sprinkles water into your muffler, clean water, the same water you brush your teeth with, not toilet water. We'll get to all that stuff later. I'm just trying to educate you right now. They start at $79, and they're called tushies, okay? And tushies don't play games. Why? Because it makes already off the dot. When you buy a tushy, you're telling me you give a fuck about the environment, you greedy bastard. Half a roll to wipe your ass. Two trees are dying in my neighborhood because you want to dry your pussy. Air dry it, bitch. Old school, like the Quakers did. You know what I'm saying? Tell them. Anyway. Go to HelloTushy.com right now.
You got
to
send that puss.
/church and get 10% off your first order. Get a bidet started. Let's get this party started. How are you going to get your little muffler licked if it's not going to be clean, if you got UTIs and all that stuff in there? Let's face it. Some people are waiting for Santa Claus. Some people are waiting for somebody to just bump into you, lick your nutsack, and stuck that tongue up your muffler. Am I right, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm waiting for someone to lick my ballsack.
This is what I'm talking about here. So go to HelloTushy.com/church. It's Monday the 23rd. Forget Jackie Gleason. Forget Santa Claus. It's all about you. Kick this meal, Lee. This poor kid. Here we go, it's Monday morning, you savages. Fell on black days, baby, we all got them. Here we go. Hitting me or what? Everybody's jumping up and down, it's Christmas. We don't give a fuck here at the Church of What's Happening Now. You understand me? All we care about is today. My girl's here, Annie Letterman, looking spectacular. Top comedian, savage, gangster from Philly, part-time Quaker, you know, the whole thing. Drop it on me, beautiful.
I'm a violent Quaker.
So drop it on me. What's happening?
All right. It is. Am I allowed to tell the world that it's Sunday?
It's whatever you want.
We're recording on a Sunday. I came from church.
That's right.
I came from Quaker meeting. I came from church to go to church.
That's two churches in one.
Dude, I double churched.
Forget about it.
That means I can do it. You can do whatever the fuck I want
you
now.
You can just walk past St. Peter.
I'm going to go rob a fucking bank.
You can just walk past St. Peter and tell him, go talk to the guy behind me. He's got the ticket. You
know go punch saying? An old lady like, the fuck, you yeah, church haters. Twice.
What's going on, beautiful?
Nothing. I'm feeling good. Okay.
You're one of those girls that doesn't wear makeup and looks good. Like, constantly. You have, like, you half makeup it. Just to torture me.
I'm wearing so much makeup.
And
it's
when
so funny.
You put makeup on, you're just stunning. Just stunning.
You know, you try to be camera ready. You know, you try to make them, you know.
I hate
ready?
You.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I've arrived.
I ain't managing, man. What's
I
happening?
Come in. I smell good. I look good.
Look
I'm
good.
Funny. I
you
try to have
beautiful.
Fun.
No, no. You're a hard
have a
work,
good time. I got to take my little church name tag off.
I saw that. I saw that. I thought that was like a thing from you went to visit a prisoner, your boyfriend that was in jail. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know what your deal is. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
What's going on these days?
These days, just comedy. So much fun. I had a good weekend. I did some Special K, and I listened to some self-help books and got a...
What's Special K?
It's like a rave drug that now they use for PTSD and depression. It's a disassociative, so... It gives you perspective. You can like look at things from an outside point of view.
Just like reef.
Yeah. Well, sort of. It's a tranquilizer.
How high are you? How long are you high for on them?
It lasts like an hour, I think.
That's it?
Yeah, but the results, they use it a lot for people that it's like antidepressants right away. You know, you have to wait for an antidepressant to kick in and stuff. It's like it's supposed to like reinstate the neural pathways in your brain.
It's
just
pharmaceutical, or
I mean, I don't do it. I mean, I do it raver style.
Okay,
but they have. They're like trying to get. I think they just passed an inhaler, so you're just snorting it. It's like no.
You know that they're finding out all these things now about mushrooms and people are microdosing.
Yeah,
it helps with depression mm-hmm. and whatnot. You know, man, when I was at my darkest point and I couldn't figure out life. And I might sound like a loser for saying this. The reason why I'm here is because of acid.
Yeah.
When I lost my mother at 16, I went on a year and a half acid trip looking for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for an answer. It took my mind and took it somewhere I didn't want to be. And it gave you answers. And every day it gave me another day to go, all right, tomorrow night I'll take another hit and we'll pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
You know, it was such a deep thread going on in my life. And I know that somewhere along the line, it's beneficial. It wasn't beneficial how I was doing it. I'm not mm-hmm. a scientist. I can't sit here and tell you. You know, we bumped into somebody who explained ketamine to us.
That's ketamine.
Who said the effects of ketamine that, you know, it helps with depression and all this stuff. You know, I got to be strictly honest with you. Here's another drug. I got to tell you, that was horrible. It's a horrible drug. Well, when I was on it, I was focused.
That's what I cocaine. Did. Coke.
When I did a line of Coke. You can't get more focused than that.
For me, Coke just like
it's not
my drug.
No, it's nobody's
was.
Drug.
Well, I'm like
it's
I'm
nobody's drug.
I'm sober other than ayahuasca, DMT, acid, mushrooms.
It's a lot of things.
Special K.
But you won't snort Coke. You won't do a line of
I won't do Coke.
You won't do a Vicodin. You won't do an OxyContin.
Well, it depends on if it's
actually
I know
you won't drink.
No, I don't drink.
You don't drink.
No
so
drinking.
You're doing this stuff.
I'm trying to like things that,
up.
Exactly, that teach me. I
open
don't want things
you
that
up
take
a little
me.
Bit. You know, when you, it's, I, and I'd say this with confidence, and I don't want people to sue me or jump off a building or criticize me. Sometimes me and Lee are fucking around here, and we'll drop a hit or sit or something, and it takes me somewhere different because Lee will say, like, I walked on night, and I'll think of Lee, and I'll giggle because for Lee, it's something different than what it is for me. We were talking about mindset the last podcast, how you look at things.
Yeah.
You're going to go follow Louis C.K. and Chris Rock. You're driving thinking you're going to die. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to go follow Louis.
Yeah.
And then Chris Rock is going up, and then I'm going up.
Yeah.
Harry Letterman's going
yeah.
up. Yeah. On the drive down there, you're going to lose. You're thinking
yeah.
in your mind you're going to lose. But you might program your mindset.
Yeah.
You know, that you might just go down there and rock them.
Yeah.
It's how you go in there. If you go in there with your shoulders slumped,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm going to die already. You're going to die. You're going to die. So it's the mindset.
Yeah.
When I do any type of those things, like, I can look you in the face, tell you I've done over 100 acid trips. I never had a bad trip.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, when people say bad trips, I'm like, I always say, explain to me what it is, because these medicines give you what you need. It's like,
what are you talking about? A bad trip is.
Be brave, bitch.
You know what a bad trip is? You saw the truth.
Yeah, you didn't want to see it.
And you didn't want to see it.
Well, tell me this. Don't you see this? Like, hallucinogens have taught me that life is, like, as equally hideous as it is gorgeous. So it's like, it's the same thing. So it's like, it does hurt, but it also, you have to feel that pain to feel the, like, beautiful fizzle of, like, the light, too. It's the same thing.
When my mother died, I had such a void. And the only thing that filled it, there was two things that filled it. My friends in the daytime, and then once I went home at night, those four walls got smaller. I am an advocate for people with a touch of mental health to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I have a touch of mental health issues. I have a lot of mental health issues. For me to survive, I know I got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Because the walls are closing on
me. Yeah.
And you'll think about the bad stuff.
My dad always tells me whenever I'm depressed, he's like, go out and he's like, go talk to strangers or whatever, which is honestly how I got molested as a kid. But it's good advice as a grown up.
We'll get to that.
Not
later.
As a kid.
Not as a kid.
But it really is true. It's like, I am a social, I really like to talk to people. I mean, I'm just going around chatting with people all day.
When, you know, depression starts by sleeping later. You know, when you look at all the symptoms at first, it opens up with sleep, sluggishness, you're tired, you know, and then the walls start creeping in on you, and then you have to do something about it. You have
to
go talk to somebody, get medication, but I would start with vitamin D.
Yeah.
That's the cure. That's the natural cure.
We're talking about Dick, right?
We're talking about vitamin D, son. Do you bat both ways or just one? I don't mean to be rude.
No, everyone thinks I'm a lesbian.
I
don't know. Tim Dillon told me that I should say that I'm bi so that I can say all the words.
Yeah, you get away with murder.
So I'm bi.
Yeah.
No. Okay, bye.
I just thought that you were like, I have a lot of respect for you. I never thought nothing of you sexually. I just thought that you were just with girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. No.
I don't care.
I tried it. I don't like the taste.
I don't care one way or another. I love the taste. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good... Thank you.
Like calories, good taste.
I always say that because I was on the boys' baseball team and stuff. I had brothers, so I was always like competing as a boy with everyone. So I did all these things, and it's like, as I was saying, like instead of a Deadpool, they had a dyke pool. Like everyone was like just betting on how gay I was going to be. And then I wasn't gay.
Oh, you're too beautiful to be gay. Look at you.
I got fingered once by a girl who looked like a boy, but I wasn't into it.
Really?
Yeah.
How old were you?
24.
Why did she finger you? Were you making
She just
with?
Looked like she looked like a boy. I hung out with her all the time. This is when I lived in Santa Fe, which we were going to talk about. But I lived in Santa Fe. I was bartending at this place called The Cowgirl. Did you go there?
I don't remember.
You definitely did. It's the spot. So I was bartending there, and it's funny because they have all these different celebrities that have houses there, or they're in town filming stuff because of the tax write-off for movies in New Mexico. And so I used to bartend for Sam Shepard. Do you remember Sam Shepard?
Yes.
So he would come in, and one day, and like we'd always.
Who was he married?
Like a piece of ass. What's her name? She's so beautiful.
Yeah, piece of ass. Just.
Oh God, so gorgeous. She's in American Horror Story.
I'm jealous of Sam Shepard.
Just absolutely beautiful.
I'm jealous of Sam Shepard.
Well, he's dead now. You can.
No,
get her.
I was jealous of him when he was.
You can get her now.
His wife is just.
What the hell is her name?
Stunning.
Marilyn Reese.
No.
No.
I don't think they were married. Jessica Lange.
Yes.
So beautiful. Listen, talk about aging well. I mean, that bitch.
Dog. And the
hot right now.
The postman always rings twice.
Listen, titties to her knees, and we still want to play with them, don't
you
we?
See her?
I'm just saying, she's the oldest shit, but she's gorgeous.
You've seen her lately?
I didn't see her. She looks amazing. I've seen her in American Horror Story. She's gorgeous.
She looks good still.
But so Sam would come in, and one day I got off early, and we were having a margarita together. This is back when I drank, and... I had this best friend who looked like a boy, like she was a lesbian, just such a les. And I don't know what we were talking about. We're talking about like, I was like, oh, I want to do comedy. I want to move to New York. I want to, you know, and he was like, comedy's so scary. And I was like, yeah, I just want to live like an extraordinary life. He goes, you are living an extraordinary life. You're gay, right? I was like, no, I'm not gay. So he thought I was a lesbian because this girl all the time.
So weird.
So I was gonna make shirts that said Sam Shepard thinks I'm gay, and he was like, I want 10%. But we had this whole thing, and then years later, I moved to New York, and I was working at this restaurant in Alphabet City, and Sam Shepard walked by, and I'm like, oh my god, Sam, I did it! I moved to New York. I'm doing stand up. And he goes, did this used to be a jazz club? And I was like, oh, fuck. God damn it. No memory of who I was. Just like, all right, bitch. But it was really funny. But anyway, so that girl, I had like hung out with her all the time. We worked at the same restaurant together. I was drinking a lot. And she just planted little seeds, you know? She was like, do you think you're gay? And I was like, I don't. She's like, do you think maybe the reason that you don't think you're gay is because you're gay? And I was like, huh? She like Jedi mind tricked me a little bit. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's homophobia that I never considered being a lesbian. But I've been boy crazy since I was little, like really little. Always boy crazy.
So wait, how does she finger you?
Well, like, she. Oh my god! First of all, very similar to how you're fingering yourself.
I was still
yourself.
High from last night, and you were saying how she fingered you, and then you told like three different stories. And I'm like, I was just like, I want to.
Oh my god, Lee, yeah. Put your boner away for one second.
Can't help it. I'm sorry.
All right, so. So then we were like, you know, we would just drink late, and I was dating a bartender at a bar a couple things down, and he was like kind of like, he was like a bro, and I don't know, we were over there one day, and he brought us into the office, and he showed both of us two girls one cup, and she was like, see, boys suck, and I was like, ugh. So then that night we would make out, we'd get drunk and make out, and then we went back to her place, and she fingered, and I swear, I feel like she fingered homophobia into me, like it just wasn't. I just was like, this isn't right.
This isn't right.
I just like, I don't want this.
That's
this
a short
sucks.
Finger.
I was like, this fucking, how many knuckles are in there? Jesus.
Yeah, no.
It sucked. Short. It was just like, I just wasn't into it. I was like, let's just smoke in Newport.
How long did you live in Santa Fe?
7 years.
And you loved it?
But I mean, I would like had a developed quite a drinking problem there.
Okay.
I quit drinking right when I moved out of there.
The nightlife is all there is to do there. And ski up in there. There was nothing to do.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's like a retirement town.
The 6 weeks I was there. To answer your questions, I only went out to whatever the hot club was.
Adam Swig.
Adam had a party one night at.
Uh-huh. I was there. I was go-go dancing at that party.
Okay.
I was a go-go dancer at the one club, Swig. It doesn't exist anymore. It was owned by two gay guys who, and it was kind of a gay club, but because it was the only nightclub in Santa Fe, and Santa Fe is such a small town, everyone just went. So they had three podiums, and it was originally this gay guy, me, like a little twink, me, and then this cross-dresser transvestite, Brandy, who was Calvin during the day and Brandy at night. And then they fired the boy, and then it was a stripper, me, and this. And people would come up to me like, do you have duct tape too? Because Brandy would have duct tape her dick. And so they come up to me, and I was like, I'm not even really a good dancer. I would be hammered, crying. I didn't like when people touched me or tipped. I would get mad when they were like, I'm like, you're objectifying me. They're like, this is your job. But it was $50 an hour plus tips. And I would just wear like a slutty little outfit and just dance up there, get so hammered. Just falling off. I would fall down all the time. I was crying. Fake eyelashes stuck to my cheek. I had those chicken cutlets, like the little like boob things. And I would sweat and they would slide up. And people like, your thing's showing. Like I was a mess.
Why were you crying? You know, like you were.
I just was like, yeah, I don't know. I was just drunk, a mess. Yeah. And I was a nanny by day. And so I would go, my knees were all sore bending down from dancing. So I would like have to bend down to hang out with these kids that have glitter all over my face. It was ridiculous. Have like 2 hours of sleep. I was an innkeeper. I had to quit that job. Or I guess I got fired, but I showed up wasted for my morning shift and I was too drunk.
And there's no comedy in Santa Fe.
There's no comedy.
I mean, the nightlife. Is zero.
It's
I was
zero.
There for 6 weeks, and I went to the bar around the corner from the Santa Fe, like a redneck type bar.
The Cowgirl.
Because a Kate Fletcher's girlfriend.
Shit, the Cowgirl. Yeah, worked. Heather. I bartended with her.
Heather.
Yeah.
And I used to go to when Alberto Crane had the jiu-jitsu place.
Uh-huh.
Alberto Crane is now here.
Okay.
He's got one of the biggest schools in Burbank and Glendale.
All right.
I met him in Santa Fe, New Mexico, his first jiu-jitsu school.
It's unbelievable. Tate got me sober.
Tate,
I used to wait on him at the Cowgirl, and he was annoying as shit because they'd come in all sober, not like ordering drinks and shit.
Right.
And fucking no fucking sales. You know, but I mean, they would tip on stuff, but they were always like special needs and annoying. But Tate, I might have talked about this on Rogan, but Tate... he put together on the karaoke night. He knew I wanted to do stand up. So he put together like a situation where I could go up during karaoke night and do stand up. So I did my first show. He put that on for me. Then when I moved to New York and I realized I had to quit drinking, I called him and he helped me get sober and stuff. And
Tate's a good fucking.
Yeah. And then I came out here. I didn't even know he was like connected to comedy in any way.
Fucking, yeah, he's connected.
Yeah. He's like one of my best friends for all time.
It's funny. He was an extra in The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
I've watched his ascent and it's. You see somebody like Sebastian. I met Sebastian when Sebastian was a deaf fucking mute.
Yeah.
And I was 36 and Sebastian was a kid and he was a waiter. And you turn on MTV and you see Sebastian. And if you really like Sebastian, like if you guys were friends at the store, you get this twinkle in your heart. You're like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And it convinces you that this is a life.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I try to tell these young guys, this is a life. This is a great life. It's just a journey.
It's the number one life.
I still remember nobody knowing who Sebastian was, but he had one fan, the club owner in Dallas, who kept telling everybody who came to the, listen, the next big thing is Sebastian.
Yeah.
I remember him telling me, saying, I've had him in here for the last two New Years because he's like dice light.
Yeah.
And in Texas, they really like that. And when you see Sebastian, you know, now you see the people who are in the conveyor belt, who are on their way up. They don't know it. They think they're struggling. I didn't get that role.
Yeah.
I went in four times with producers. You're on the, but you're getting 11:45 spots at the store.
Yeah.
And you got a manager and an agent. You're on the conveyor belt.
This is a heaven that we're living on. I can't believe, it's not a when I wake up, I'm like, am I dreaming? I can't believe that it's like, and I'm not like financially, I'm not killing it right now, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't fucking matter.
People have no idea. Like, I always say to myself this every like 3 or 4 days when I'm writing in the morning, I stop and I go, what was I doing 10 years today? 10 years ago today. And I force my mind to go where I was 10 years ago today. And I go, wow. Then I go, let's go one deeper. Where was I 20 years ago today? October of 99, I had New Year's at El Paso for 2000, for 2K. The world was going to end.
Oh, yeah.
And I had Houston going up to it, New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And I had a triple tour planned, my big thing. And I was a regular at the store. I was already a regular at the store, getting six spots a week.
It's fucking best.
And I was planning a tour. I didn't think I was up to par in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was getting spots at the store, but when I would go to the improv and get sandwiched in between, like, Patton Oswalt, I would always, like, what's that word, flutter, like a fish. I would
flop.
And I just looked at myself. I probably did a hit of acid or something. Yeah. They gave me something. I took up myself objectively, and I said, you know what? It's time to go on a trainer run.
Yeah.
And I left December 20th of 99, I came back in like May. Like I did a 6 month.
That's so fun.
Like the first 3 weeks were booked.
Yeah.
Everything else.
And then
was,
you just went for it.
Just who's got an opening?
Yeah.
Call the Funny Bones. Listen, I'm on the road. Whatever. MC.
Yeah, you really just have to make feature. Enough. That's all it
That's
is.
It.
Like just
in the beginning, 300, 400 in a condo. 400 in a condo. Ooh. You're eating Subway sandwiches and McDonald's. You exercise a little bit, you watch TV, and you write. You buy a bag of dope. That's your big fucking party for the week. You buy a $70 bag of dope that lasts you.
Yeah.
You smoke everything. You smoke it down to your finger.
Yeah.
You look at your finger when you're in open mic, they're brown.
Yeah.
They're burnt. Because you know, everything you do is to the extreme. When you get a sandwich, you got it.
Those resin hits.
When you know those people that say, let's go try that. I ain't trying nothing. That Chinese lunch special. Gives you a soup, a salad, a bowl of rice, a feather for $6.95. That's where we're going. Yeah, but let's try the Hindu. I don't want to try nothing. You don't even take a chance.
You can't.
You don't even take a chance. Like, you got to go. You got $20 to last you for the day.
Yeah.
That meatball sandwich is $8.99. It's huge. It gives you a little bit of heartburn, but half of it for lunch. And the
other
half
two
for
meals.
Dinner. You know, that's how you look at things. You start looking at things like that. And you just... When I got here, nobody was talking to me. Like, no Montreal. I had no comedy agent. I was with an agency called The Coloring Book.
Oh, hilarious.
And you had to make your resume different colors.
So are you making that up?
No. So I would have to go to Charlie Chan Printing. I would have to give her 100 resumes every 2 weeks, because in those days you got sent out. I would have to give her like 100 resumes. What's a resume? Joey Diaz, SAG-AFTRA, 5'10", 260 to 290, range 40 to 50, basketball, Bronx County,
yeah.
Comedy Store, improv, some fake playhouse yeah. bullshit, some fake acting coach, and swimming. Interest. You always have to put swimming number one. Casting directors want to know if you could swim. Did you know
that? I just love to swim.
Did you know that? All right, there you go. You learned something from Uncle Joey.
That's so funny.
When it says interest on the bottom, you have to put swimming number one.
Knitting.
Because they want to swimming.
Knitting next.
No, not knitting. Swimming, martial arts.
Uh-huh.
A language.
Oof.
Like you have to put... You speak I don't speak another language.
Oh, you have to do your accents.
Make it up.
Oh,
it
then
up.
That comes that Whatever really comes to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, but what happens when you get the job and then you're like, I don't speak this?
No. You're gonna write on the bottom whatever's gonna get you into the job, but it's gonna be very blatantly. Like you're gonna speak, you're gonna say Yiddish, and then I'm gonna call you and I'm gonna fall in love with you. You're gonna say a couple Yiddish words in there, mashugana,
machada,
and yeah. then. When you get to the set, they're going to say, we thought you spoke Yiddish. And you're going to go, yeah, when I was 3, I lived in Israel.
Yeah.
Not now. I forgot. Who do you speak Yiddish to all day in North Hollywood? You know what I'm saying?
Give me some lines. I'll read the lines, bitch.
You said here you could swim. Yeah.
Is this fucking improv?
When I was a kid, I was in the master swimming program. It was 20 years ago. My shoulder broke. But now what are they going to do? So they'll rewrite the part for you.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So you always got to lie about something. I told you, this whole career. I'll
update my resume. I can
comedy is a girlfriend. Comedy is a girlfriend. You got to date her, you know, kiss her neck, bring her flowers. It's the same thing with the resume.
Comedy's the girlfriend that can finger me. That's the only one.
Yeah. Comedy is your girlfriend. So now you got to bullshit your way into the rooms. So you got to write that in the bottom.
I do hate that feeling, though, when you're like, oh, they're about to call me out on this fucking shit I just lied about.
I tell them the truth all the time. Like, I'll put heavy machine operator because I knew how to work a high-low in college, whatever. I knew how to work a high-low.
Yeah, no you can't turn it on now, though.
But listen to me.
But you can stretch a lot. You can stretch a
lot. Okay, let me give you an example. I had a dear friend who got called in for Sons of Anarchy. And he called me back and he goes, at the audition, they asked me if I could ride a motorcycle. I go, what'd you tell him?
He said no.
I go, I hope you tell him yes.
Oh, no.
He goes, I did.
Oh.
I go, but he goes, it was over 20 years ago. I go, good enough. He got there the day of the set. He was all worried. He kept calling me, Joey, you made me lie. I'm in trouble. I go, no, I didn't make you lie. I made you be blunt. I made you be, what's that word?
Bold.
No, there's a word where you it's obscure. The answer is obscure. You never give somebody like February 12th. You always go from the 12th to the 18th. You give them a...
Vague.
Vague. I go, you gave him a vague answer. He didn't sleep the night before. He called me that morning.
Oh, that's so
I'm
funny.
I'm just going to quit.
I feel that.
He fucking went. He told him the truth. I was like, no worries. They're going to pull you anyway.
Yeah, you're not going to be on the fucking motorcycle.
You're not going to be on the bike nobody's, anyway.
We can't afford that.
They can't afford that. They have guys that dress up like you. When you watch Sons of Anakin, they go by.
Yeah, you see that wig?
Not one of them. Yeah. They're all wigs.
Tate Fletcher is actually every person.
Yeah, they're all wigs. So you don't have to really.
Okay.
It'd be nice if you could pop a wheelie. If you could pop a wheelie, there's some
They would be mad, though. They'd be upset because they don't want you to get hurt.
Right. There's some auditions where they'd go, listen. We want to ask you, like, there was an audition I went on where I swear to God, you had to do the commercial with an alligator.
Oh, that's fun.
In the water with an alligator?
In the water with an alligator.
Oh, that's fun.
So you
the audition? I'd be like, can I have the fucking booking,
the
bitch,
audition,
before I...
You had to sign a waiver when you went in to let you know that you were going to work with the thing.
Yeah.
A guy like me signs that, I'm not taking that job. I'm not that retarded to take a scale job with an alligator.
I would take it.
But I'm going to put yes on it. I'm going to play with you a little bit. I'm going to let the casting director fall in love with me. I went into like
Book
three callbacks,
else, yeah.
and they went in for somebody else, and I was happy. I never saw a commercial again. I doubt they shot it. I doubt they shot it, because at the end of the day, they were going to put you in the water up to your neck in a cage that people couldn't see, and the alligator was going to be talking next to you.
Oh, I love that. I'm an adrenaline junkie, though.
Oh, no. Some people.
I love something like that.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I think I would do it. Because yeah. It's going to be a trained animal.
Sounds fun.
They sedated it or whatever.
Fuck you. It's definitely going to bite you.
It's not.
You never know.
They have it set up. They don't want you to get bitten. Like, think about, you know, Tom Cruise always does his own stunts. That must annoy them so much. We're like, Tom, can we just have someone that's like trained to fucking do this? We don't have to deal with you. It's like so much extra. You have to be, you know, it's like you have extra insurance and all that stuff. Nobody, they're not going to want you to get hurt.
Yeah, but who are those tiger trainers in like Vegas?
Oh, the guy that got
bit. Yeah, by his own tigers.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen, but that's what's fun about it.
Accidents happen, but
that's fun.
If that's what you, if that's your,
doesn't
injury.
That make you feel alive?
No.
Listen.
Have you been skydiving?
No.
It's boring.
I would just go straight to the earth.
I can't get him to run with his shorts in front of. I can't get him to run the Popeye's chicken naked. Just run in front of him, front back. I have for them $100 when people are waiting there for the spicy chicken sandwich.
That's so funny.
Well, here's $100. Just run naked right in front.
There's
of
a
him.
Number.
Yeah, there's a number. It's more than $100.
$100's low.
He's starting out. That's his first job. Who gave you $10,000 on your first job? You got to earn yourself
up. When I was naked?
No, you got to earn yourself
she
up.
She at least got 50 an hour.
I got 50 an hour to
I'm
do
giving
this
you an
course.
Hour for a 12-second jog.
Yeah, but they didn't have camera phones back then.
But nobody's running. You're going to run so fast.
Does he get to wear a bag or something over his head?
If he wants to.
Yeah, you could disguise your face. You didn't ask enough questions. Listen, you should have negotiated.
Can you imagine sitting on a line waiting for a chicken sandwich and all of a sudden a chubby guy comes running by naked and you just.
Let me just say there's going to be kids in that line and he's going to get indecent exposure.
I'm going to jail.
No, he won't. Because by the time they catch on. Listen, nobody wants to chase a fat, chubby guy. Nobody wants to even touch a
that
fat,
That sounds like me
guy.
In college. I chased
First
a lot
of
fat,
all,
chubby guys.
Have you seen an arm tackle? That's what it is with a chubby guy. When you go to tackle me, your arms are going to slip right off me to grease.
You can't bear hug me, bitch.
No,
yeah.
You're not going to bear hug me.
You can't bear hug me.
You're done. Nobody wants to chase a homeless guy. A dirty guy.
Oh, he's
going
to talk to you about like that?
No. I meant to say a naked man. Nobody's going to chase a naked man. It's like we're talking last night. What are the chances of being a pedophile with a voice box, right? That would be a good pedophile. If I was like, if I had a voice box, I'd definitely become a pedophile. Because you're tremendous. Hey, little kid, come here.
I thought you were saying because you had like the little hole they could put their dicks in.
Well, that's a different. I never even thought of
that. It's smaller, you
with
know?
With the curtain.
Yeah, see? Come on in.
In the 70s, they had the hole with the little curtain. It's like a peep show.
Surprise.
You can pick up the curtain. I'm like a priest put his little kid's dick in the throat or something like that.
Come to Poppy's throat.
Oh, that's God. Disgusting. We're
it
go
is
to
disgusting.
Hell on Christmas week.
Merry
so what,
Christmas,
what
everybody.
What made you get into after all this? I mean, I know you got into some deep shit later on, which is really nobody's business for right now, but how long did you want to do comedy for? How long was it burning you up?
I was... I always made my dad laugh. So it was always like a thing where I was always just trying to make my dad laugh my whole life. So I kind of started to realize that I had, like, I just talk shit. Like nobody, I wasn't raised with like boundaries or rules really. So I just always talk shit. I just always said whatever I think all the time. And I started to realize like I could kind of affect the room by doing that. And so then in... probably around college, I was like, oh, I think I could like do stand up. I think I could do that as a thing. I want to do that. So then I was living in New Mexico. Obviously, there was no stand up. I was just drinking a bunch. And I just was like, I want to do it. And then when The Longest Yard came in, I met like Nick Swartzen and Adam Sandler and people like that. And once I could see it, you know, the arrogance of someone who starts comedy, when you just see it, you're like, oh, I could do that. Like I just being able to see them in real life and see like their actual size, that they're not like as big as I see them on screens.
They put their pants on. One
They're regular,
time,
yeah.
Just like you.
And
what
I was like,
think
oh, I
of Adam?
Well, I thought he was very polite and very nice.
Very
and
sweet.
He was really, really sweet. And I was just so, he was one of the first celebrities I'd met. So it was, I was so surprised at how little he was. And not that he's a little person, but like just compared to what I was used to seeing him. I was used to seeing him on big screens.
It was different. When I was growing up in Boston, like I would get starstruck for people on the news. Like there was no internet back then, so like they were like all everyone on TV was like exciting. Now, yeah. I wonder if it's different now.
Well, it's rare that I get starstruck now because I think what we do is the fucking coolest thing. I think like what we do is the number one thing. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for people and I, you know, and there's celebrities that I get excited to see, but I don't get like I get like starstruck over, like I met Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor, and I love Survivor. I got really fucking starstruck over him. It was embarrassing. I mean, I got weird. Like I was like, I have to talk to you about this season. Like I got really weird. And like, I just got normal with Pauly. Like people that have been in my life since I was a kid, usually I'll get starstruck over. So if I see like Pauly Shore or like someone.
I don't get starstruck. I get more. Like, I can't believe that I still remember MTV had a show called Comedy Kamikaze. And it was on the afternoons at 4:30. And I still remember seeing Nick DiPaolo, Felicia Michaels, Pauly Shore at his prime, you know, on MTV, when Pauly Shore pretty much ran MTV.
Yeah.
And now I got Pauly's number.
Yeah. I know, it's wild,
you know,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's... I used to date this girl.
I brought Dave Chappelle on stage. It's like, what's my life?
What?
It's insane.
What the fuck is that?
I can have... You know what I realized, too? It's about, like, you have to adjust your, like, your goals, because you can... I just realized I've gotten literally everything I want. I had a very, like, troubled childhood, and then I'm now in this place where it's like, I've gotten... I can't believe it. You were saying about, where was I 10 years before? Where was I 20 years before? It's like... Holy shit.
It really
is. Would be like, yeah, I would have gotten more traumatized as a kid if I knew. I'd have a fucking Netflix special. I'd have been like, I need more bad things. I mean, it's like, I can't believe it's all worth it. It's everything that has ever happened in my life is absolutely worth it because of this time. So now it's like adjusting and being like, ask for more. You know, and you got to do the work and stuff, but it's like believe that you can have the things that you want. When you like meet these people, it's like, I fucking idolized your ass.
It's weird. When you, like, for me, I don't know. I've never really been, like, I remember seeing Richard Gere at the time. I wanted to beat him up. From 1979 to 82, I wanted to jack Richard Gere up because every woman you talked to liked Richard Gere.
Yeah.
And I took a girl to the movies one time, and Richard Gere showed his ass. I just dropped $30 for nothing.
Yeah, good night.
I'm not getting nothing. Richard Gere showed his ass in American Gigolo. He did, like, an upside down headstand, and every woman in the movie theater went, and that was it. You were done. But I saw Richard Gere, and I wasn't. Nobody really do I get. James Coburn. When I first moved here, me and Joe Rogan chased James Coburn in a car on Sunset, and he had an Acura NSX. But then I got to work with him twice, and the starstruck went away.
Yeah, it goes away.
I get sentimental. Like, I got a call from Dave from Nick Swanson. He says, I need for you to do one line in my movie. But for some reason, I got stuck doing that one line with Don Johnson. You have no idea what Don Johnson meant to me growing up. He was Miami Vice. People didn't do anything on Friday nights from 9 and 10 to watch Don Johnson. He was the shit. And to talk to him now that he's grounded. And at that time, he had just had a kid. And he was old, and I felt like saying, aren't you a selfish bastard?
Yeah.
Having a kid. And 2 years later, I got my wife up at 50, and I was like, thank God I didn't call Don Johnson out.
Oh, that's so funny. Because now his daughter's in 50 Shades of Grey.
Can you believe that?
That's so embarrassing.
that's just tremendous. Like, that's, you know, there's so many people that
you can't watch your daughter's movie. She's getting whipped with a dick the entire movie. You can be proud of her.
He still has to be proud.
Of course, he's proud.
She's, she's a cute kid.
She's beautiful.
She's a cute
beautiful
kid.
Girl,
she's a great kid. She's a cute kid. No, there's so many people that I'm not. I don't get starstruck.
Like, it doesn't really. I mean,
I get it motivates me to see them. Yeah. Like, you get motivated. Like, if you, especially if they go on stage and kill.
Yeah, oh, that's
you
exciting.
You know, I saw what's her name at the Improv. And I didn't even know it was her. And 20 years ago, I would have been sort of starstruck. The girl that used to be married to Richie Sambora and Tommy Lee, that poor girl, that they put her through hell.
Who, Pamela Anderson?
No.
Heather Locklear?
Heather Locklear.
Oh, yeah.
She was America's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She didn't deserve to get herpes. She married two guys
She got
herpes.
Hepatitis, she got herpes, she got all the H's.
She got all fucking every hooked on every pill they were hooked on.
Yeah, she was a lot of DUIs.
Yeah,
and stuff.
A lot of DUIs. You know, it was like a poison. She let these momos in her life, you know. But it's just.
It's a disease.
This is a weird place here. So how long did it take? How long did you live in New York bouncing around?
I moved to New York. I was living in New Mexico and I was just drinking really bad and I crashed my scooter really bad and woke up with my face split open and just like really, really bad. So I knew I needed a change. So I decided to move because I was afraid of drinking and driving. I was afraid to move to LA because I knew I'd have to drive. So I moved to New York to do stand up. And then I was there for like a month and a half and then I finally went to an open mic. And then after my first open mic, I quit drinking and started just going to mics every day. And I started doing like 5 mics a day and just like never stopped, just went as hard as possible immediately. And then I got Montreal like 2 years in really fast and bombed really bad. I'll say everyone except one person bombed in my group, but nobody really talks about the bombing. I'll always admit my bombs, but it was so painful. But then through that, I ended up getting, there was this lawyer there that went, he goes, don't worry, you have a good look. And I was like, what are you talking about? A good look? He's like, you have a good look, you'll be fine. And I'm like, what do you mean? I work hard on my jokes. Like I'm a comic. I just didn't understand like the Hollywood side of things at all. And then I ended up doing, I met some bookers there and I started doing like Chelsea Lately and stuff. So then I was coming out to LA all the time and like living in my car, but doing TV, you know? And then moved out here in 2013, got passed at the store right away. Only auditioned once. Thank you. And then...
Tommy. Let me ask you something before we move any further. Your performance in Montreal, were you prepared, unprepared, unexperienced for what you were going to walk into? Not ready for what you were going to walk into? What did you tag it to?
I would say it's a little bit of all the things. So the booker had said to me after I auditioned my first, or maybe it was 3 years in, but I auditioned like my first or second year I auditioned and they were like, we really like you. You're very new. These are the things we want you to work on. So then that year I worked on everything they told me. And then when they came back, I was like way better. I mean, everyone was mad at me. I didn't stay for anyone's sets. I just did 5 sets a night. I worked during the day. This was always going to be my job. So it was just never, there were no distractions. It was only comedy. So then when I came back, I did really well on my auditions. And the booker said, do you want to go this year or do you want another year? And I said, I want it this year. I'm going to kill. I'm going to be awesome. And then I bombed. But I'm okay with it. I mean, it all worked out. I think I've gotten everything that I need and I want at the right time, even though I didn't realize it at the time, you know, like that these were experiences.
Two years is very early.
It's very, very
early.
To
go to Montreal.
Of course.
I applaud you because after the bombing, most people would have tapped out.
Mm-mm.
Because they would have thought their life is over. Now I got to go back and face these people. So
here's what I know. I knew because I have a strong sense of injustice, you know, like I'll battle the battles. I don't care being the loud one that gets in trouble or whatever. If I see something that needs to be addressed. When we went to Montreal, I did the unrepped. So there was the repped new faces. And then there was the unrepped new faces, which was like a newer thing they were doing with people that didn't have agents or managers. Now I had managers and agents that wanted to sign me, but the booker was like, don't sign with them. I want to send you unrepped. So at this point I was like, motherfucker, if you don't give me this motherfucking thing, you got in the way of my work. Like you got in the way of me making money and stuff like that. So then when I did get it, I went, you know, I was confident in this 7 minutes that I had or whatever, 6 minutes that I had. And we get there. The show ran 2 hours late. It was all industry in the back talking. It was a near impossible place to succeed in. And I know you can't blame the audience for everything, but it was a rough situation. And then one kid killed, Joe Mackey, destroyed. He just destroyed. And so then all of us were like, oh, I guess we can't blame the fucking room. But it was just a lot of pressure. There was, you know, like all these networks trying to, I just didn't know. I just had no clue about that. All I knew was jokes. I just knew you do jokes over and over and over again until you get them right. And you just keep going.
Bags and whatnot.
That's all I knew. So the Hollywood side of it was very confusing. And it was like...
Which is no good for you at that level. It's no
There's
good
no reason for it.
I don't like it. It adds too much pressure to an already precious situation. Mm-hmm. I want your open mic career for you to have a day job.
Yeah.
Go out at night, learn what it is to sleep on 4 hours and have to go back to that day job. You know, you do your 2 or 3 mics, but then you and your friends get together for coffee and talk shit till 4 in the morning.
Yep.
Even though you got to go to work at 7. Sorry, Charlie.
We had an open mic at Lucky Jack's in New York that we would go to that was like, would run till like 3. We'd be sleeping in the back. Just, I mean, it's just, it always, there were these comics that would give me shit, you know, like, and there were female comics that started around the same time as me that would give me shit about not staying for their sets and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know you. I don't owe you anything. I'm not here for like I have my camaraderie with the people that work as hard as me. Like my crew is the people that bust their asses as hard as me. I don't have time for, why would I be staying for you? You don't stay for me. I don't notice who's in the room when I'm on. This is about my work. And then those same girls spread rumors that I hooked up with the Booker of Montreal to get in, where I'm like, no, I worked harder than you. It's like, it's just all of those girls don't exist in my world anymore. They don't do it. It's like you just have it or you don't, that drive.
There's two worlds in the beginning. There's the people who just talk and they get so involved in the world of comedy that they miss the whole point of getting funnier. And finally, the world of comedy talks them out of doing comedy. Talks them out of it. They get so caught up in this and that, and they talk themselves out of comedy. And there's people like you and I that I didn't give a fuck.
No.
I didn't give a fuck. I look at you, Whitney, Nikki, Allie. You all have Fucko, Jessamay Peluso. You all have one trait that at one point you said, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Fuck this shit. We're doing it our way. Mm-hmm. And I have a huge respect to you. Whitney said something to me once that she goes, you have two choices as a woman in L.A. You could comb your hair or go suck dick or put your hair up in a hat and go be one of the boys and bang it out with them and earn their respect. How do you earn their respect? Not by sucking their dick.
Mm-hmm.
By being there with them at 2:20 in the morning, knocking it out of the park, and them going, thank you, Allie.
Yeah. You
call them and saying, hey, listen, Joey, it's disrespectful. I saw you headlining Club 48 in Tacoma. Do you mind if I drive you for a 5-minute set?
That's
what women do sometimes. That's what guys have to do. That's part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, funny doesn't have a fucking gender. It's hard work, dude. It's just work. It's like, that's what's so... And it's just, I was so careful to not fuck people in the beginning. And then it was so hilarious because they ended up spreading rumors that I fuck people. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, it's just a weird thing, a stigma that they put on chicks. But I don't give a fuck. I was talking to Rogan about it. He's like, must have been good. If they said that about you, you must have been good. I was like, I was fucking good. And it's just like, you know, I still had stuff to learn. But it's, you know, if you're sitting around and you're gossiping and you're thinking about why, if you look at someone who got something and you go, wow, the reason they got that is they must have had some privilege I didn't have. Like someone must have tried to fuck them or there must have been something. What you're missing is that right now you're supposed to be writing jokes. Like head down, write jokes, work on your shit. Why the fuck are you paying attention to what other people have? If someone has something that you want and you have that tang of jealousy, think about what are they doing that I'm not doing? What is it that like I could be doing that this person is doing? Ali Wong, I used to do open mics with her in New York. This bitch would show up with a fucking camera. She had a goddamn GoPro or something. She would set up her camera. She would come in. She would somehow get on the list early so she could go. Like you just work the fucking system. There's no like, and she wasn't rude or anything. She was working hard and she would come in with new jokes, crushing hard. It's like, there's a reason that some of us are at the store and some of us aren't. It's like, write your jokes. What are you fucking talking about? You're blaming another thing outside of yourself. It's you, bitch.
No, I have a huge sense of respect for you ladies because I know what it's like. I've been there. I know what it's like. I know what it's been like to been taken. And I know what you need. My mother, when I see you guys, I see my mom in a bookie office. I see 6 guys in an office yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
And my mom right there on the phone yelling, going, pick up that fucking phone. That's money in the register.
Yeah.
That guy's a sucker and going and looking at her going, most women can handle this job.
Well, it's just like
being in the room with this many men, it takes a certain woman. That's why I bring her.
Yeah.
That's why we do a podcast. I want to include. I wish I lived in Jersey, but I take her to a social club. So yeah. She can be comfortable walking into a room with men and reading men. Men from an early age. Who's going to mess with me? Who's not messing with me? Coming to me going, Daddy, I don't like that guy. Why not? I don't know. I just don't like how he looks at me. They see that shit.
Right.
They see stuff we don't see when you're a kid. So it's, I have a huge, a couple of years ago, it was in the paper, somebody said women weren't funny. And the guy lost his job, Letterman and stuff. And I know him, you know, I don't know him well. And to this day, it's always bothered me, that comment. Because who was the first person you watched on TV that made you laugh? Lucille Ball. We grew up on Lucille Ball. So for you to make that statement, and Carol Burnett.
I'm just like, listen, I am a girl and I've been funny my whole fucking life. So I'm with me all day and I'm laughing the entire time. So I don't, you know, it's like, I don't know what to say to these people. But it's not like a real comment even. I don't acknowledge
me.
That.
It bothered me because it was a dumb comment without thought. Like, you have your opinion. Everybody has their opinion, but thought to that opinion. I grew up on Lucille Ball. So maybe I don't like a lot of, like, I hear gripes all the fucking time. I'm not involved in the Comedy Store and the comedy world gossip column anymore. Because I have my own family.
Yeah, you're busy.
I have so many things. When I hear things, I go, really? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I hear little things. You know, I leave the Comedy Store at 10:15. Before the darkness comes out.
Oh my God. I'm there till like 3 a.m. I'm like closing it down.
Really?
Oh, I have, listen, I used to be there when I used to have Brody was my barometer because Brody would leave. I'd be like, oh fuck, did Brody leave before me? I got to get the fuck out of here. Did Brody leave before me? So now I just have to be like, oh fuck. Like once they like lock the one door and you got to go through the kitchen, I'm like, oh, I've stayed too long. I'm like fucking with Don Barris in the back.
Oh yeah.
It's just so fun. I mean,
it's a complete different life.
It is just, goddamn, I have fun.
It's a complete different life down there.
I love it though. I mean, I know all the waitresses. Like, I know everyone.
Yeah, the waitresses. It's
fun. This is my home. There's this girl that I had a falling out with. Well, she had a falling out with me. I'm a grown woman. I don't have falling outs with people. But I was kind of trying to like talk to her like, hey, do you want to like bury the hatchet or whatever, and she was like, no. And I was like, I just want to let you know, like, this is my house and it's never going to be weird for me, so I will always treat you with like love and respect because this is my home and that's what I do to people in my home. But like, just know that there will never be nothing weird will ever be coming from me because this is the most important, this is my space. That's how I feel about the Comedy Store.
You know, I went to New York to shoot the Soprano movie, and that was the first time I was away from here for 3 days. And it was weird. It was a tough 3 weeks for me because it got me thinking. I got to see a lot of my friends I grew up with. I'm tight with my friends I grew up with. They're my family. So I got to see lots of them in groups or in individual situations. And I started thinking about my life here. And I'm like, man, my life here is kind of weird. I don't have that. And on November 12th this year, I really realized I did have that. It took me fucking slipping in the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
To realize that the next 2 days, the overwhelming support that I had.
Yeah.
Like, it was over fucking whelming.
Well, half of it was them trying not to sue them. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
Whitney,
no.
Did you hear what I said to Whitney?
Yeah.
Because Whitney's so codependent. I go, Whitney, I'm so sorry you're going through it. So Joey fell and he hurt his knee in the kitchen. His hamstring in the kitchen. And he's like up on a chair, a roller chair with his leg up. And Whitney's like by him. And I can just see, I just know her, you know? So I go, Whitney, I'm so sorry you're going through this. You know, because she's just like so empathetic.
She's, it was a lot of people. It just wasn't Whitney. It was the cooks and the busboys and the waitresses. And I got calls the next day. I would never sue the Comedy Store. But I went home and in my pain leg with the ice on it, I was like, that's my home.
Yeah, it's family.
That's my home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you walk up to the belly room, there's that picture of Brody. You just You just touch
kiss
it.
Kiss that bitch every time.
You know, it's home. It's something that I'm in the mafia.
Yeah.
I'm in a different mafia. And it's so weird how people go, when you're in the mafia, if your kid is in the hospital on his deathbed and the boss calls and he needs you, you got to leave your kid. That's never going to happen. That's a dumb statement. But yeah. I feel the same way with the Comedy Store. Like, that's my family. Mm-hmm. Like, there's comedians, then there's the regulars at the Comedy mm-hmm. Store. In my mind, we breathe for one another. You know, I like the Comedy Store now because there's really no bad blood amongst the Comedy mm-hmm. Store. I could look you in the eye and tell you that. Do people get on your last nerve? That's going to happen at the dentist office. That's going to happen at Ralph's. There's people that I don't like there, but there's no beefs.
No.
And I can't even, you know what, I'm saying that wrong. I love the staff there.
Mm-hmm.
I love the management there, and I love all the comedians.
It's amazing.
There's a couple little fucking producers that think they're
slick. Yeah, they're annoying, hustles. Yeah.
But beside that, man, I got a home.
Yeah.
You know, I got a home. I love performing there.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
I don't give a fuck when I perform there.
Oh, it's the best.
I don't give a fuck when I
and
perform.
And they'll always have our back, like, just.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck when I perform. I really don't.
Yeah.
When I go up there, it's to kill.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what hurts you, mm-hmm. what doesn't hurt you, what your mother thinks, what religion you are.
Yeah.
I go there, you know, ever since Mitzi died, it drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Like when Mitzi Shore died, I'm not the type to cry.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go to Hollywood and cry and show everybody. It just made me stew. When somebody dies, I just stew.
Yeah.
I just stew. I take something out of their death. For Mitzi, it was bringing the basics back. I just ate a bag of dicks on Netflix with Christina. Christina, the door fell down during her set. And then I went up there and I was fucking rattled and on the plane. And a couple of days later, Mitzi died or whatever, and it all came together, what my plan was.
Yeah.
How much I had drifted. Like, I'm a Mitzi Shore soldier.
Yeah.
You know that the black drill sergeant, an officer and a gentleman?
Uh-huh.
You're a drill sergeant all your life. Mitzi Shore was a drill sergeant. And if you listened to her, you would get somewhere.
Yeah.
And that was her main thing, was do your thing.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about these people?
Yeah.
There you are. We already got their fucking money.
Well, they also don't. Here's the thing. Nobody wants, like, nobody has time for your, like, low self-esteem or your, like, the whole audience just wants you to be yourself.
To be yourself.
They just want.
Yeah, they know going.
They're there to watch you. And if they're not, get the fuck out. I had some girl, I made a joke, the people that were leaving, I went on late night and a bunch of people were leaving. And I said, if you leave during my set, you raped me. Just heads up. You'll never work again. And this woman goes, I was raped. Don't say that. I go, bitch, everyone on the stage was raped or molested. Shut the fuck up. I was like, you should have a better job if you were raped. Like, why are you in the audience? Like, I just was like,
I was
boom,
raped.
Boom, boom. Like, shut the, who the fuck wasn't? Are you, you shouldn't come out. If that really affects you, like, you should be in your house being a victim. Are you fine now, bitch? How are you now? Are you being raped now?
Oh, we live in the town.
Just
of
like, grow up, bitch. We it's like, who the fuck wasn't raped?
We
shut
live
up.
In the town.
You gotta be kidding me, bitch.
We lived in a town of fucking victims.
Ugh.
How long did it take you before you until you? How long did you stay in New York till 2013? You come out
2013.
Here,
come out here.
Become a regular at the store.
Become a regular at the store, and then you know I'm going on real late, and then and I was in a relationship that I was not happy in, and I was
comedian or
he was a rollerblader. He was. I
why
was
did
like,
you look at me? Why did you look at me when you said that?
Imagining you on rollerblades, actually naked,
no,
rollerblading in front of the
it's worse than just
the
running.
Chicken line. No, it was like a younger kid. I was like paying his rent. It was a weird thing. A good lesson, a 3-year lesson. But I didn't feel like self-expressed in that, and I didn't feel like I could really like talk about what I was going through because I hated my boyfriend so much. He was such a nice guy, but I just didn't. I was just unhappy. So it was like 3 years of feeling like I didn't. And I had a TV show on E at that time. So I was doing that for like 4 episodes. They gave me a talk show. And so I was like kind of distracted by that. But the stand up just wasn't. And I felt so depressed. Like I had this underlying depression because I didn't feel self-expressed on stage. And then broke up with him, moved back to New York for a year. And then I was like, I got to go back to LA. I started working on Sacha Baron Cohen's show on Who Is America. So I moved back for that. And then I was like, I'm never leaving here. I'm at the Comedy Store. Why do I fucking leave the Comedy Store? And then I just started really not giving a fuck. And, you know,
what's in your body language? It's in everything you do. Now, you book like Girl Code and all that.
I used to do Girl Code. Yeah.
How was that? All you dirty bitches came from.
It was so easy. Well, you know, Jesse and I didn't listen. Jesse and I didn't. They didn't wouldn't put us on the show together. Like they thought we were the same, which I don't think Jesse and I are like. I mean, we're like white trash in a fun way, but I don't think we're actually that much alike. I think we have different, we get along really well, but I just don't think we're the same type. But they, so she got cast originally. They were coming to see me all the time, and then they cast her, I guess, in the role of the blonde chick. And then she ended up, there was something with E or something, and so then they ended up having me on. So Jesse and I never got to be on together. So
what's
silly.
The Asian girl? The guy hit by a car.
Oh, Koo? Esther, yeah. Koo, did you get by a car?
Twice. She's sitting on a gold mine.
Oh, my God.
Every time you
was
see
she driving
stage,
or?
Like, no, walking.
So was it by another Asian woman?
I don't know. I think the first one was hit. It was Asian on Asian attack.
She got hit twice. They're trying to hurt you. At this point, they're aiming for you, bitch. If you get hit twice.
When you're walking around, the other night a car missed my door, guys, by a centimeter. You could hear the door. I would have been dead because it takes it off the hinge and it just hits you. You just die.
When you're stepping out of your car,
yeah,
you know that's die. On you. I got in a car accident where a girl opened her car into my, and she's liable. It's all you. You have to make sure that there's no car. You would have been at fault.
What happened years ago? Somebody, I was headed to an airport and somebody, we pulled over and somebody hit it with a bike. I don't even, it happened so long ago. Me and my wife, this is when my wife used to drive me to the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has to be fucking 20 years ago in the beginning. When, yeah, we used to leave like 20 minutes before the flight. Step on it, bitch. This is
that's a fun, is that how you, are you always late for things?
No.
I'm late for flights. I like to run,
when
run through the
I
thing
got,
like I'm
when
chasing
I
a lover.
Got here before 9/11, I thought I was Johnny Cute. And I would do the, it's only going to take us a half hour to the airport and they'll let me in.
Yeah.
You know, and then 9/11 came and that all changed.
Jesus,
and then
crazy.
You mature as a comic because when you're a feature act or you're a non important headliner, you know, like you're just headlining and you're getting the basic scale, they don't give a fuck if you show or not. Like, they don't give a fuck. They can call some other janitor down the corner. They got a local headliner.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck. They're going to give him the same.
The club owner will just do the spot.
Yeah, it's not like Tracy Morgan coming to town. It's not like Joe Rogan coming to town. People excited. Who's in town this week? I don't know. Some guy named John Smith. That's when you're that person, I didn't give a fuck either. Like, I didn't give a fuck. But then you start, it's your mindset. You start thinking about that.
Yeah.
You start thinking about these people, like our babysitters.
Yeah, they want to see
they're
you.
Really
they're excited.
Excited. They want to hear a joke about you mugging a hooker and like a wig on fire. And you go, you know what? Let me get to the airport a little early.
Yeah.
What's the harm? Because it's two different feelings. It's being stressed out the whole time till you get on the plane and you go,
right.
Or you walk in, you know, it's like that old expression. You could run down there and fuck one of them. Or walk down there and fuck them all. You know what I'm saying? So, Lee and I were having this conversation last night. We live in Los Angeles. He was saying that Andrew Dice Clay made tapes 2 days ago from Los LAX that he had to wait for an hour to get picked up. Did you see there was a fire last night at LAX at the bus station where the Uber people get picked up?
Oh, my God. That's
did he start it? Did he go down there?
Lightning. You knew I was with you all night, cocksucker. Last time I spoke to you was at 12:30. Don't even say that because the cops are going to be interrogating me. And we did a bunch of edibles and we did some bad pills. So I passed out on the couch. So don't even say that I lit it on fire, cocksucker.
I'm just asking you.
Trust me, when I saw it lit on fire, I thought it was me too. I was sitting there thinking that I walked down there last night and just light that Uber station on fire. Trust me, I got enough problems of my own. You know the Jew in me comes out when I get aggravated. So I this morning, that's why I woke up to. Mercy, we're in the, look at that, she don't give a. When play, weren't the buses on fire in LAX this morning? No, she don't care. She don't care. I told you. When places show, she's over there. She's up level 9, whatever the hell she's doing.
I was worried.
Somebody lit 2 buses on fire at the Uber lot last night.
That's so funny.
So the people who were waiting for Uber were really pissed off last night.
Yeah. It does suck when you come back and you're like waiting for a fucking and you're
I
like
tell people all the
and
time.
You order the Uber and then it's like
8 minutes and
it's
then
like 8 minutes.
To 11.
Then yeah, and then you're like, wait a second, why is it not moving? Wait, where are you going? Where the fuck are you going? And then it's hours later, and you're just like so tired, you just want to get home.
We have no idea what like people have no idea what it's like to go down to LAX and how you feel. And I was telling Lee that we're to the point now where I'm not gonna Uber. I'm not doing that. Forget it. Forget it. I'm not taking a limo down. I'm not Joey Bananas. I'm not in the mafia. I'm not Tony Pro. So let's just do this. Let's just take the first flight out. And if it's at 6 a.m., that means I got to be there at 5. I love getting up at 3 a.m.
I would just pull an all-nighter probably.
No.
I can't trust myself to fall asleep and wake up if I'm only going to sleep an hour.
No, you're not going to sleep an hour. You're going to cancel your spot at the fucking store.
No way.
And you're going to go to bed at 9 and get 5 hours sleep. So you.
How the fuck do you go to bed at 9? What are you taking?
I'll give you a little something.
All right. I'm going to bed early tonight.
You call me and we'll get you something. And you go to bed at 9 and you get up. And let's say the alarm is set for 2, 3. You'll get up at 2:30 to give you an extra half hour to drink your coffee in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Write your little log. Go on the internet. Tell somebody on Twitter that their mother's ass smells like Bayonne.
And that they need a bidet from Tushy.
They need a bidet from Tushy. You get in your car and you drive down there. You go to the airport at 4:30. You park right next to the elevator.
Yeah.
And you walk in. You go through clear. Because I'm a felon. They don't give me that. I got to take my shoes off. They want to smell my fungi toe. So I give it to them. And you go in there. And you pray that somebody's open. You know, like when I left Boston, Legal Seafood was open. Bitch.
Have a little morning lobster.
I wanted to have my little Legal Seafood card.
Oh, shit. We got to get some seafood, bitch.
Oh, yeah. I got them all. I got Legal Seafood.
I'm going to roll with you, and then we're going to get.
I got my little credit cards, but I got 1,000 of these. I got about $21,000 or $22,000 on Jersey Mike's.
Oh, my God, you're so funny.
Because I like the turkey and provolone sandwich. Ooh,
Jersey Mike's is good.
No, it's not good.
Come on.
Turkey and provolone is good. That's it. Everything else is box.
Okay.
Nah, the cheesesteak ain't bad.
Listen.
The cheesesteak ain't bad.
You have to adjust. You have to adjust your expectations when you're not in New Jersey.
You miss the East Coast?
I do miss the East Coast. And I'm excited to go back for the holidays, but I am very happy here. But I do like, it's fun to meet East Coast people here. I got in a fight with this chick in the audience in the main room. It was not the same chick. You know, I get PMS-y. I get a little, you heckle me when I'm PMSing, you're going to get a bitch. But so I was like fighting with this girl and it was fun. I mean, it was fun. You know, when you like, you know, when you go too far, but it feels good when you lose it and you're like, oh God, that felt great. It was like that, you know? And afterwards, I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't have lost my shit so much, even though it ended well. And then everyone came up to me afterwards and they were like, that was awesome. I rose. For some reason, it was like all East Coast people in the audience. So everyone fucking loved it. They were like so psyched. You know, in LA, they're like, chill, don't yell. And in Philly, they're like, well, fucking beat the shit out of this bitch.
It's funny that your accent doesn't tell me Philly, but everything else about your body language, your attitude, the way you move your hands, everything else is very
Philly. I mean, it comes back when I go home. Like, I'll come back from Christmas probably sounding pretty Philly. Avery's the eggs over there.
What are your plans for the future? What are your plans for 2020? What do you want
to
do?
2020, I'm trying to go into 2020 with no beefs, no, like, because I honestly, I don't really have any ill will towards people, but I'm just trying to, like, drop any sort of, like, expectations maybe of people, like, trying to forgive everyone and myself for all my stuff, just going really like clean. I want to go in clean to 2020. Did you mean work-wise?
Work-wise.
Yeah, rich and famous.
How are you going to get there?
I don't know. We'll see. It's going to happen.
You got a plan?
I'm working on, like, I'm writing some stuff. It's just focusing on stand-up. I'm writing some other stuff. I want to write a book. I got plans. Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm just happy. I just think my set evolves.
You are very happy. Whenever I see you, you make me happy at the store. You're one of those people that it's always a pleasure to see. The other thing was that night I fell. I'm laying there. You ever watch like a football player when a play gets broken up and he lands and he holds his knee and then he holds his head?
Okay.
Because the pain is so much that you have to control yourself. Like, I'm surprised I didn't pass out at the store that night. Like right now, my leg is healed, except for it feels like somebody shot me in the ass with a needle, and they did it like without training.
It's like a little numb pain. Numb pain, yeah.
But that night, I was in pain, and I was breathing out of my nose. I was focusing really hard not to pass out, and they turned me around, and you know, Whitney was talking to me and they're trying to get me pain pills and figure out what it is and ask me if I want to go to the hospital. In the middle of all this, Annie Letterman looks me in the fucking eye and goes, "Hey, you want a blowjob?" Now, I don't care how much pain you are. I don't care if you're dying, if you're taking your last breath. When you ask a man if he wants a blowjob, he doesn't give a fuck. He has to think twice. He could be bleeding from your side.
I was
going to
say, your leg didn't hurt anymore.
You could be bleeding from your side, and you'll actually think about it. Can I bleed and get a blowjob at the same time? And I look at Annie like, you got to knock it off. Because I don't want nobody sucking my dick. I'm an old man. Like, I don't. It's a shame. Like, I feel bad for a young girl that would suck my dick. It's a real injustice to them when they go home and they go, the sperm was a little chunkier.
You know, it was so slow.
I'm 56. It's a different type of fucking dick. I go, Annie, knock it off. And she goes, I wasn't going to suck your dick. I was going to get one of these guys to suck your dick. Let me tell you something. I went from being in pain. And that's what people don't understand with a guy like me. Like, I went to the same doctor for 22 years because I'm scared of doctors. But he figured out how to soften me up by telling me funny things. The real genius of comedy is changing how somebody feels. Like, I love it when I don't love it, but I love when somebody's parent dies and I have to call them. Or I have to go to their house.
Yeah.
I know what it feels like to lose a parent. But it's such a morbid fucking time in your life. It's so morbid that your inner respect for a parent, your mom or your dad, doesn't even want you. Like, you're like, how can I even think of putting on Seinfeld at a moment like this?
Yeah.
You know, like your inner, but you're praying for Joey to say something to you.
Yeah,
and I always will.
Yeah.
I'm
me
the type
too.
Of motherfucker
yeah.
that'll come up to you and hug you and say, I'm really sorry about your dad. I know how much you loved him. Yeah, it's been a real blow to my family. My mother can't get over it. I go, well, fuck it. At least we're getting that boat down the yacht.
Yeah.
Look at me and you'll go, you're such a dirty motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, don't make me laugh. Like, people, when somebody looks at you and says, please don't make me laugh. Please don't.
My friend,
you did your job.
My best friend got a cesarean section. She was like, you can come over and meet the baby, but she's like, you can't make me laugh. And I was like, it was the best day of my fucking life. I'm such a cunt. She was like, please stop. But I just couldn't. I was like, don't you dare tell me not to make you laugh.
I love all that shit.
Oh, it was the most fun.
I love, like, I still remember one particular night, my friend had a broken arm. My friend was having the month from fucking hell. We were 18. He went to, you know how you throw your car at somebody? Like, he threw the car at some, like, he stepped, like, Lee's crossing the street, so I'm going to hit Lee.
Yeah, when Esther Koo's going by and I run her ass over.
Yeah, and you stop before you get there. He went to stop, but he hit my friend. So my friend got up, and my friend threw a punch at him. My buddy put his arm up to block him. He was so skinny, it broke his arm.
Oh, my God, that's
He was
so
having
funny.
The month of hell.
Oh, my God.
So he's got a broken arm. He's got a girlfriend in high school that's hot to trot.
Yeah.
She's available to the highest bidder. Everybody says she sucked a good dick, whatever. You brought her a ring. You outdid him.
Yeah.
So he bought her a TV.
Oh, my God.
And she was at home. She broke up with him. She was at home watching the TV with the guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he kept calling her up at home, calling her a cunt, fucking whore, and all this shit. She actually came up to the bar, threw a fucking beating on him in front of all of us.
Oh, it's so funny.
We were all kids. She jumped out of the car and just started smacking him with one hand. She's a Jersey
girl.
Oh,
so hilarious.
Don't you ever call me a whore. Your mother's a whore.
Yeah.
And he's getting beat up. We pull her off and put her in the car. We take him inside. We sit down. We're sitting there. He's just staring at his beer. And he goes, I should go down and take that fucking TV.
That's what I was thinking about.
And next thing you know, my buddy goes, just look at the bright side. Right now, her and Lou's are probably watching that TV, and I'm there popping his head up and just shaking it, you know, and then laughing.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's when you go, you know what, man, that's what it's for.
It's our gift.
And that night was the night I went home and I told my wife, and we were both fucking laughing. and I hit you up that night, and I said, thank you for making me laugh at such a difficult. It was a dick, because I was thinking about Miami.
Yeah.
I had 2 weeks that I could not cancel.
Yeah.
I couldn't cancel. Like, I would have had to go up there with stitches. There's no way I could.
What, did you have a wheelchair?
No. I did it. Yeah. I did it. I went home. I did it the right way. I iced it. I did it from A to Z. I ended up in urgent care because it swelled too big. Mm-hmm. I did the 2 days of pain pills. I got rid of it. I got a steroid. But then the healing process has been acupuncture, cryotherapy, mm-hmm. Novitor, massage. Nate Ellenberger gave us a gun to bust mm-hmm. out your muscles. So at night, I don't even ask my wife. I just bust out my leg muscles.
Yeah.
And then I stretch. It makes me stretch that hamstring.
Yeah.
Because I stretch. I bust it all the way down to my ankle. And it's like a fucking machine gun that breaks up all your
blood.
Yeah,
I think I know what you're talking about.
And then I hang my legs upside down. I mean, I've worked on this hamstring. I gave it blood. I've been doing leg extensions and still go to, but now I've been kickboxing.
Yeah.
I've kickboxed twice in 10 days and nothing so far.
Can you roll or no?
No, I'm not going to roll at all. At all. That's too much. Hip
escapes.
Yeah, it's
going to go.
Hip escapes.
Yeah.
That's it. Hip escapes and passing the guard, I can't do it. Yeah. That's a definite hang. You know, when somebody slices through on the pass. How long have you been involved with jiu-jitsu?
I've been doing it on and off for like a year.
What do you think so far?
I love it. It's so fun.
And you love the no-gi?
I do no-gi.
Just no-gi straight
Yeah,
up.
I mean, I never tried gi, so I don't know. I can't, okay. There's nothing to compare it to.
It's a lot of fun, too.
I would try all of it. It's so fun. And I mean, I can't believe I'm like, what the fuck was I doing? Exercising by myself and like, that's so boring.
And you know Black Dante?
Oh, I know Dante, yeah.
Is he your boy?
Yeah, that's my boy. I saw him the other night. He was at the store.
He was at the store, yeah. Man. That's what I heard.
I sent a picture to Scotty Epstein. Did you see the video that that I made with the... I'll send it to you. We made Scotty and I made a video because he's got these giant... We call them Dante. Like, they're these big, giant black dummies for, I guess, striking or whatever. So we put them out back and we did a video where I was pretending to blow them and he came back to catch me. And he was like, Dante. And he goes, get back in class. And then I'm blowing them and I go, don't tell my dad. Don't tell my dad. And then they like pan over to the one black student who's just like shaking his head.
And that's Dante.
No, it wasn't Dante. Dante hasn't been there in a sec. Dante, if you're listening, what the fuck?
No, I called him.
He said he hurt his foot. He stepped in glass or something.
Yeah, I called him the other night. I called him the other night and checked up on him. I know he had to get roommates and whatnot. So, Dante's family for 20 years. Mm. Dante's been family since 1997.
Yeah.
I still remember him coming over to my house, falling asleep with a bag of fish. He would go to Ralph's, and you go to Ralph's, you buy fish, and they'll cut it up and fry it for you.
Okay.
And he would be hammered. He would fall asleep, and Finney, my cat, would figure out how to go in the bag. And I'll never forget, he woke up, and he's like, get this motherfucking cat out of my fish. The cat had been in the fucking, he was head first in there.
Yep.
Lucky cat.
His whole
cat.
Head was greasy and everything for a
That's
week.
So oh, funny.
He looked like fucking Elvis, the cat. His hair was all greasy back. He had grease around his ears. The whole fucking thing. But Annie, no, I want to thank you for saving my life that night.
Yeah,
I owe you
of course.
Big. You made me fucking laugh. You definitely have a fan with me. If you ever need anything, please look out. And
hell yeah.
I'm a fan, man. I love what you do. I love how you do it. I love your style.
I feel kindred to you. I feel
yes.
like you.
No, no,
and
no,
I do want to be more, I got to study you a little bit because I do want to be more, I have so many fucking crazy stories. And, you know, I'm going up and I'm telling these jokes and stuff, but there's not like, there's just like a lot of untapped stuff. So I really got to like, I've got to tap into that
when
on stage more.
When you were younger, you had delinquent problems.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
You had any arrests or anything like that?
I never got arrested, but I was like always running for my life. I mean, I really was like, I'd always be like in Jersey City running from a tranny or something. I mean, it was like, I just have so many... I just almost died a lot. It was just a lot of really like hanging out with really dangerous people.
Was it the drugs? Was it the booze?
It wasn't. I mean, I was drinking and stuff, but it was just my parents weren't watching me. I was just out, and I ended up going to a school for juvenile delinquents because they had a good art program. And it's just like, do not send your kids to a fucking school. I mean, I was like smoking cigarettes in the bathroom in public school, but I wasn't that bad, you know. And then I was with all these young criminals, and it was just like I just got taken by them. But I always had like that. Kind of Quaker upbringing. I was always like good, you know, so it kept me from going too far, but it was a lot of like running, call the cops, like shit like that. Help.
It gets old, doesn't it?
It just is a lot. And I think that's why I'm such an adrenaline junkie and why things like skydiving aren't fun. Cause it's just like, I feel like I was like the Jungle Book kid, you know, like I just was like in the jungle a lot. And so now it's like, nothing's really surprises me that much or,
can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Are you looking for love at all?
Of course, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think I want to have a kid. I've done ayahuasca 4 times in the past year. And most of the times it's like, be like, you should have a kid. So it's like about getting to a place in my career where I feel happy and good about it. And then hopefully finding a partner and someone to, like, you know, make a tribe with or something like that. Carry the lineage of my people. So I'm thinking about it. I mean, I don't know, but it's, you know, I have a lot to work on. I have some issues.
Well, you're very funny. You're a beautiful girl and you have a great career.
Who do I fucking date? Who dates me? Who do I? It's like, who's the... It's hard.
If I was 20 years younger, better looking, and I could keep up with you, I'd try you. You know what I'm saying? I'd give you a world, but it's too much. You're a backbreaker.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I got to find the right person.
You're the real deal. You need a special, you need an opposite.
Yeah.
You need the quiet guy that says, she's crazy. What can I do?
Yeah.
You need to date the guy that's like Paulie and Goodfellas. I talk to them all the time. They don't listen.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm saying? It's hard. Brian Simpson. Do you know Brian Simpson?
I know the name.
Yeah. He does late night. He's so funny. He's really great. You wouldn't see him just because you leave, but he is fucking hilarious. He just did David Spade. He did stand up on there. But he said to me, he goes, you know what your problem is? You're attracted to brilliance. And it's true. So I end up, but it's like, I'm brilliant. So then I'm like, with these other minds, and it's like, we're all crazy. Like, that comes with, like, beautiful minds come with a lot of crazy shit. So
crazy shit, yeah.
It's well, about, like I said, man, figuring that out.
Anytime, you always have an open door here. I love you dearly.
Thanks.
I'm a fan, and you need anything, you call. We got
you
back.
You too. I got you. If you ever need it, if you need a blowjob from a kitchen wigger at the Comedy Store, you got
no,
it.
No.
That's what I call them, the kitchen wiggers.
I don't need no.
Look at them now, and look at how they're kitchen wiggers.
I don't want no blowjobs from nobody. You understand? My dick is no bueno.
All right, guys, it's a wrap on Joey's snake. Dick.
Yeah, no. Any dates you want to promote? You hit the road.
I don't have shit right now. I just right now working on getting back with a road agent right now. I got nothing unless you want to take me.
I'd love to do a couple.
Let's
of dates.
Let's do some dates.
I like to take women with me sometimes because a lot of girlfriends buy tickets for their boyfriends. These girls love their men so much that they tolerate me for an hour.
Yeah.
And I always feel bad. I go, I don't want to bring two guys because then the girl feels left out. When this is a three-man show, a female left out. I want the show. I want a woman to go, you know what, man? I took my fucking retarded husband to see Joey Diaz. He's disgusting. He's vile. He's disgusting. But Annie Letterman was really funny.
And she was also vile and disgusting, she has tits.
She made my sort of night.
Yeah.
At least you'll say something that they're like, it's not all about dick all night.
You know what's so funny about what you were saying earlier about people saying like, or saying like girls being like one of the guys or whatever. People like, you know, trolls or whatever, they'll be like, she's just trying to be one of the guys or whatever. It's like, I was raised with boys. Like I was raised, I just like had so much trauma. It's like, you guys have no fucking clue. There's no like fake, I'm not trying to do anything. Like, this is how I am. I was raised as a fucking dude.
I was raised with women.
Yeah.
My natural aura, I get energy from women.
Yeah.
I can't do anything without women.
Yeah. Well, we all need each other.
I don't want to fuck them.
Yeah.
I don't need to fuck them.
Yeah.
I just need them around. I need that vaginal energy.
Yeah.
There's an energy that a woman has.
The pussy power.
You know, I was raised by a single mom who was always surrounded by her fucking little crazy bitches friends. And I was telling a woman the other night, I go, I still remember them playing dominoes and me being her age, like watching TV, but listening to them.
Yeah.
And the one woman going, can you believe my fucking husband? He fell asleep the other night, eating my pussy and all of them like, oh my God, what was wrong with him? I don't know. He's hanging out with that guy doing, you know, like they were women. I miss that.
Yeah.
I miss my mother and her friends. So my talking mother shit, once told me, my mother, when I was like 12 or something, my mother didn't like the woman thing. My mother was like, when you get ready, they'll come to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the first time, my mom didn't want me to grow up and be a fag.
Yeah.
But the first time I brought a woman over, my mom was like, you got to leave the door open in the bedroom. And I would come down and go, what's your fucking problem?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a nookie cookie.
Yeah.
And she'd go, not while I'm here.
Yeah.
Leave the door open. But my mom used to always say to me, you know what? You can't fuck every woman and half of them have to be your friend. So you and your friends knock it off with the bullshit. And I really learned from that. I do a lot. If six chicks invite me to watch a football game or five guys, I go to the chicks.
Yeah.
And I don't want to fuck you.
Yeah.
I just goof.
Yeah, it's
I've
fun.
Always dreamed of that. You see that?
Yeah.
That's what I always wanted.
Yeah.
That's what I love that. Yeah. I love talking to her.
I know, it's precious to have a daughter.
I don't want her to come to me when she's 13 and say, I dated a guy and he fingered me. That's not going to work.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to care. I don't want, you know, that.
Yeah.
I just went somewhere and a friend of mine showed up with his daughter and he was saying horrible things. And I'm like, and he's like, oh, she knows everything. No, I don't want her to know everything. But I want her to feel comfortable in a circle.
Right.
And that's why I admire all of you.
Yeah.
I admire you all, you little fucking bitches. All of you. Yeah. You, Whitney, you know, the Chinese chick. Because you figure out a way. Yeah, I love it. Wing Wing, Ali Wong,
Wing
Ying Ying, that's my girl. I'm a biggest fan, though. I have pictures of her and everything.
You're the funniest.
I go to fucking airports and take pictures of a book.
Great,
I love Ying Ying. I love her with all my heart. I love Ali Wong, and she knows it.
Yeah.
She knows it. You know, it's funny when you go at the, like, you know, you're protected at the store as a woman. You know that if anybody ever lays a hand on you, they'll rip it.
Yeah.
You got like three guys that love you.
I went on a date with this guy and he said something. We were texting. We hadn't met yet. And he goes, said something about my voice. I go, oh, have you heard my voice before? And he goes, no, I've never heard your voice. Which, by the way, bullshit. You hit me up. I'm a comedian. You're not going to check to see what my said. Like, you didn't check to see. So he said he'd never heard my voice. He goes, well, where can I hear your voice? And I was like, I don't know, dude. I just did a TV thing. You could listen to me on Rogan. He goes, I'd rather not. And I go, why? And he goes, because Rogan seems like someone who would like beat me up for hitting on a sister. And I went, he would only beat you up if I told him to. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, you pussy?
A
fucking pussy. I was like, you've never listened to him, have you?
I got into a beef with a guy around 10 years ago, 12 years ago to be exact. And then he tried to clean it up. And I smacked him at the ice house about a year later. I spit in his face.
I smacked a bitch last week. She pinched me. I just backhanded her. I go,
yeah.
Don't come at me with violence.
You're a trained assassin. No, you're bad.
I have weapon. I have nunchucks, bitch.
It was funny that I forgot what I was going to tell
you. Oh, wait. You slapped a guy at ice house.
I slapped him at the ice house, but I forgot what the point of the fucking story was.
Sorry, I interrupted.
I'm too fucking high. Who gives a shit? Who cares? It's Monday morning. That's all you should worry about.
Oh, fuck. I
want to
hear it.
It's 2 days before Christmas. And that's it, man.
It's the holidays.
This is as good as
you see my family.
So I'll get some dates to you next year.
Let's do some dates, baby.
Get you out there. You're a good lady. I got a lot of respect for you. Where can they find you? Where's your website?
My website is Annie Lederman, LEDERMAN.com. You can get all your Annie Fix there. My dates when I get them will be up there, and I'll be on David Spade again on the 9th of January, and I make a lot of videos and content on Instagram. I love entertaining people, so please follow my Instagram. It's just my name, Annie Lederman.
She's very interesting. I wouldn't have had her on if she was a fugazi.
She's the real
deal.
I'll be funnier
from
next
her head
time.
To her toes, as you know. Calusa is sold out. There's a few tickets left for San Francisco at the Palace of Performing Arts. The 16th, I got Bakersfield, the Fox Theater. The 17th, I got Fresno. I don't know what theater it is. And the 25th of January, they added a show at the Tabernacle in Atlanta. There's tickets out there. Go to joydiaz.net for merch for Christmas. And that's it, but real funny. Real quickly, before we end the podcast, I just want to talk to you about something. Listen, most of us know how hard it is and how easy it is to get into debt. You know what hard is? Getting out of debt, especially when your credit card score isn't that great. Listen to me. Upstart, they offer you a smarter interest rate to help you pay off your credit card debt. Upstart is tremendous. If you're in debt right now, this is the way to go. You know why? Because they go beyond a traditional credit score. Your Upstart interest rate is based on your education, job history, not your credit history. They actually reward you for going to school. Upstart doesn't care about your bills you didn't pay 5 years ago. They really don't. They care about the person you are now, who you've become, and they give you a rate based on that. Plus, they make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. The best part? Once the loan is approved, most people get their funds the very next day. The next day, over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off their credit cards. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one. This helps. I did it for 6 years, 634 a month I had to do it. This is how it works, and you're going to start with Upstart. So right now, see why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. Hurry to upstart.com/church to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes, and it won't affect your credit. That's right. Go to upstart.com/church. The church is also brought to you by, I'm sick and tired of telling you, if you're this fucking stupid, I can't deal with you no more. December doesn't mean ho, ho, ho. It means cash, cash, cash. You know why? Because the lines on the bowl games are weak. You can kill them on the bowl games. If I can make you 4-5-0, and you can put 500 on each, that's 2,500 in just 1 week in December. And I tell you where it starts, mybookie.ag. Plus, mybookie has Christmas gifts for you. They're giving away 12 days of risk-free gifts, free bets, free spins, free futures, features, and more. My bookie's got a little something for everybody. You don't want to miss this promotion. The NBA, the NHL, they're in full swing. And we got college bowl games, like I told you, knocking on the door. And you got college basketball. What are you, nuts or what? So head over to mybookie.ag right now and use promo code CHURCH. We got parlays. We got teasers. We got specials with mybookie. Will make your Christmas a winner. You're going to be a winner for Christmas, all right? Christmas Day, when all these months is listening to Jingle Bells, you're going to be sitting around counting $100 bills like a fucking doctor. Go to mybookie.ag right now and use promo code CHURCH. I'm going to get you half of your initial deposit and free wages. That's what Uncle Joey's giving you for Christmas, all right? And that's just the start. You play, you win, you get paid. My bookie. Now, as always, listen, the worst thing you want is to bump into a good-looking freak. She goes down on you, she licks your ball sack, and she smells that ass from a mile away. There's nothing worse than that. And guys, you ever go down to a woman, you can smell her ass before she gets there. Me, I eat it. What the fuck? I swam in the Hudson. I'm a soldier of debt. I don't complain. I'm lucky. I'm grateful that you give me a piece of
ass. They call
your
tongue the tushy.
They don't care. I got a tushy tongue, and I got those little, I got like a cat tongue. So you get two things for the price of one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mercy, tell him. Daddy got a cat tongue. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
I don't think about it, yeah.
All right. It's amazing, unconventional gift for anyone in your life. Everybody has an ass butt. Everybody deserves a gift from Tushy. You're like, Joey, what's Tushy? Tushy is a portable bidet that you can install within minutes by yourself. No plumber, no nothing. Let me ask you something. Do you think wiping your butt with dry toilet paper does anything? No, it removes the shit. But you got poop on the other part of your body. We just wipe it off with a dry paper. Water cleans better than dry paper. Thankfully, now there's a sleek bidet attachment that slips into your existing toilet, and it's called Tushy, and it sprinkles your ass with fresh water, all right? Tushy spray. She's not even laughing at me. She's laughing at that goofy thing.
Good timing, though.
Yeah. Tushy sprays directly into your muffler and removes the shit completely so that you're not sitting on bacteria. You don't have that spicy ass, you know what I'm saying? And it creates nasty things like hemorrhoids, yeast infections, UTIs, itchy assholes, and skid marks. You don't need
that. Why are you talking shit on me? I'm right here.
Because bidets are common all over the world, except in the United States. They'd rather kill 10 trees than wash their butts with water. Water is the answer. Tushy sprays fresh water in that muffler, not toilet water. The same water you brush your teeth with. All right? Wet wipes are even worse than toilet paper. Don't get me started, all right? Listen, Tushy starts at $69. They come in different colors. The Tushy's latest product, the Tushy Ottoman, is going to help you get everything out. Do me a favor. Just go to HelloTushy.com right now. Look at the assortment they got. They got a 90-day guarantee on the bidet. Me and Lee, we've had a bidet for, what, 4 years? If our assholes haven't broken it, your little skinny, little healthy ass ain't going to do nothing to
it. Do you share the bidet? Or it's
no, he's got one of
those. Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays are me.
So go to HelloTushy.com right now and press in church and get 10% off your order. This is the perfect Christmas present. Your grandfather, grandmother, your aunt, they'll sit there, their jaw drop, and you get a good laugh, and they get to walk around with a nice asshole. They're not just sitting bingo with things developing in their asshole. I want to thank HelloTushy.com. I want to thank my bookie, and I want to thank Upstart. But most importantly, I want to thank you savages for listening and supporting the podcast. And I want to thank you and wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Just in case you don't listen to Wednesdays, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you right now. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday, and for you and your families to be healthy, and for you guys to get ready for 2020 and to have a great new year. I'm grateful to you guys for all the support that you've given me, coming to the shows, listening, and just interacting with me on Twitter. I'm very grateful for that. So go enjoy your day. It's Monday. The rules still apply. You stab a motherfucker if they fuck with you. The world ain't going to give you nothing for dick, and you got the world by the ball. So go out there and get what's yours. I want to thank Annie Letterman. I want to thank the Christ Killer, but most importantly, I want to thank you guys. I love you. Have a great Christmas Eve, and we'll talk in the next couple of days. Kick this muley.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do. Company, wait and see. I mean, I want to be around to see how he does it when he breaks your heart to bits. Let's see if the puzzle fits so fine. And I'll discover that revenge is sweet as I.